Okay, we're back. Hour two, Republic of Texas Radio. We've made it to February. You know, the Trump. He's, doing stuff with his pen, and Texas independence is kind of floating along, just doing whatever. California's trying to exit, and we're trying to do everything we can to get them to leave. But, well, it's probably going to be a long while before they can get their wheels on their ship, if ever. But Texas independence is going to be coming right up. Man, just give it a few months, and it'll start smoking. I'm pretty sure of it. Pretty sure. Hey, Doc, you've been quiet for a bit. Let's bring you back in before bouncing to Joe.
Well, I'm here. I thought the key thing on that guy was theoretical. After that, it doesn't matter what he calls himself, because it's not much different than writing cartoons or comic books or doing a sci-fi movie. It's pretty much your imagination, and it's unlimited, and who knows what's going to happen. But the way he spoke was matter-of-factly, not theoretically, and I kind of think maybe he just really believed that's the way it was going to be, but, you know, it was all just up to your imagination. And I really believe the scientist, growing up reading comic books and watching sci-fi movies and cartoons, get a lot of their ideas and end up making some of the imagination come true.
Joe?
Yeah, no, I agree. And yeah, I guess we got to thank them for that, because they did entertain us all those years. You know, unfortunately now, as we pull back the curtain, we can see, well, we have a problem, Houston. Right?
Yeah. And my thing here was kind of like, you know, I bet you Alan, you know, concurs on this. Were they just telling you how to behave and then we internalize that? Or did we manifest that after they envisioned it? What do you think, Alan?
Well, yeah, it's life often becomes the truth. But getting back to Kubrick and as Joe says, you know, pulling back the curtain. You know, one of my earliest memories that I can recall, you know, I was 6 years old when the moon landings took place in '69, and I remember watching that whole thing. You know, just amazed and fascinated, just glued to the black and white, you know, three channels that we had at that point in time, television, and watching that. And I remember when the lunar lander blasted off from the surface. They had that camera facing back down towards the moon, and when it blasted off, it just kind of went poop, and it was up in the air, and it was gone. And, you know, by that point in time, I was already playing with, you know, Estes model rockets, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, it's nothing corresponded to what I knew. When you light a rocket off, the gases come out the bottom, and it blasts dirt and leaves and stuff all around, and there's a big spray, and the rocket goes up in the air. You know, and I remember sitting there watching that lunar lander take off and going, that's not right, you know, but it was all real, it was true, and it wasn't until later on in life when the curtain started being pulled back a little bit. I talk about those aha moments where I hear someone else in the alternate, you know, media talking about things that I saw that as a kid, you know, as an adult, you know, that it did not match with what I saw as reality. And as the curtain starts getting pulled back, you start getting these little bits, and it goes, aha. That makes more sense. I remember watching that as a kid, you know, and not seeing a blast, you know, signature coming off, you know, dust on the moon flying up in the air everywhere. That was the earliest aha moment I can remember. You know, there's lots of things that we've been lied to in our life that, you know, they keep falling into place as I go along and keep learning more and more. But that was one of my earliest memories, and I questioned that. And when I first heard someone questioning the moon landing, I was like, yeah, that made no sense to me at all.
You know, I never really questioned that, and I don't remember watching the moon landing. I was 2 years old, so, you know, whatever. But I remember the internet when it first became available to me back in 94. I had my first dial-up little modem, and it's like, okay, I'm on the internet. Now where do you go? And what did we go to? Well, you could see a lot of interesting stuff about aliens and, well, a lot of stuff about the moon and people that were asking questions about, well, what's with this picture and what's with this and why are there shoe marks that go to nowhere and no tire tracks? There's a lot of problems. And wow, even today, you know, I wasn't thinking anything about the moon landings, right, until I, you know, bounced into ka-ka-ka-ka-ku-ku. And once I saw that, I listened to him, and he said, well, he said, go take a look at that again. And so I'm looking at it. I'm looking at all the questions that have come from the amount of time of people asking questions, and a lot of them, they can't be answered. NASA, yeah, even at one time, tried to put together a panel, a commission, to write a rebuttal to all the facts, and then they had financing for it, and it stopped. Why did it stop? Well, I don't think they could have put up enough smoke and mirrors to actually quash that whole thing, so they just said, well, just let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it go.
Yep.
I don't know, Joe. It's all messed up.
How about all those Apollo tapes have disappeared now? Probably some of the most momentous, you know, film footage in the history of this planet, as far as we're concerned. And we're sorry, we erased those accidentally.
Right, right. Somebody dug those out of the vault, NASA vault, and they said those, you know, the recordings are ruined. But there were a couple of frames on the end of the tape that they were able to retrieve. Pretty interesting. I was checking it out. Now, you know, in this interview with Kubrick, I mean, this was you know, like his last will and testament. You know, I mean, you know, he was a genius in his own right. I wasn't a big fan. I didn't like all his stuff. You know, because I caught it probably when I was, you know, growing up in those formative years. You know, Clockwork Orange, just brutal. Brutal.
Weird.
2001. Yeah. 2001, you know, creeped me out. I've seen it again, you know, maybe as an adult. You know, some of the concepts in there are just, woo, you know, okay, great. Hey, it's entertainment. You know, that's what it is. It just keeps coming. They kind of brushed that under the rug, the whole thing, you know, and everybody that was involved with all those recordings, everybody that was on the crew working the set is, you know, dead and gone. Then gone, some by mysterious circumstances and some just by, you know, natural causes and stuff like that. Really fascinating. But, you know, the whole thing, the takeaway, Kubrick, he was kind of unrepentive, you know. In fact, he called the NASA tapes, we'll just call them the NASA tapes, you know. And this is, you know, not new information, you know. I don't expect a knock on the door. We're just, you know, what difference does it make at this point in time? You know, really, really, it doesn't. But he seemed unrepentive. And, you know, when he called the whole, you know, the NASA tape series, he called it his masterpiece. Actually, he's explicative, which I won't repeat on the radio. But yeah, he was darn proud of that thing. You know, I mean, even better than 2001, even better than Dr. Zhivago. Dr. Strangelove. Sorry, I'm getting my doctors mixed up. Been a busy week working with the doctors, but you know, it's just amazing. Yeah, you know, and some of the stuff that you come across is like, oh my gosh, here we go. You know, somebody dropped a picture on the set. Come on, it's in the frame. Get it out of here. Yeah, it's amazing, and it's kind of comical. You know, because you can't get angry at this stuff. You know, what frustration, you know, you're going to be like Kubrick. Because I saw a tortured man in his, you know, recording. I saw his face. You know, imagine the, what is the guy's name? Howard Hughes. Remember that movie and how he kind of became eccentric? A lot of people don't know, you know, Kubrick became eccentric towards the end too, you know. And in this thing, he was really, really, you know, he felt bad about it, but he didn't feel bad about it.
Okay, hey, let's go to the phone lines real quick. 1-800-313-9443 if you want to be on the show. We'll bring you on. We'll figure out what you need to talk about. Let's first go to Charles. Charles out in Florida. What's going on, man?
I just wanted to call in. You're bringing up subjects about the Star Trek and Star Wars and the U.S. space mission. Played his part as Michio Kaku. I think he's another one of these so-called physicists that's a total quack. I have a friend that's a graduate of UCLA and PhD in physics, and he doesn't think much of Michio Kaku. He's a popularizer like Carl Sagan and believes a lot of these so-called quacks in modern physics, quack theories like string theory. One time, Michio Kaku had on his radio program, he had some physics professor, and the guy, first off, you know, he started talking about string theory, and the guy said, oh, God, not another string theory, and Michio Kaku shut his mouth up, you know. I think Art Bell or one of them on Coast to Coast is claimed that Michio Kaku was the inventor of string theory itself, which is baloney anyway. But
yeah, it's kind of funny.
I had a friend that was a secretary to Leonard Nimoy, you know, Spock on Star Trek.
Oh yeah.
And, she was in my Sons of Confederate Veterans chapter here in Pinellas County. That's where St. Petersburg is, Florida. And she thought Gene Roddenberry was probably like the Antichrist. He was telling me about all this inside, who number one was in the show, you know, this it was in the first Star Trek, I guess. And, but she didn't think very highly. Gene Roddenberry admitted he thought he was a Illuminati member.
I wonder how many of these people are involved and what is true. Because, you know, they created that whole series, and Roddenberry didn't just create it. Everybody created it around him and gave him what he was going to create with infinite money. And, you know, I mean, that was a crazy series, and it taught me an awful lot. And it got me to expect a lot in the future. And I don't know. It's all crazy, Charles.
You know, you're talking about Stanley Kubrick. Well, Arthur C. Clarke, you can just read his book, 2001, A Space Odyssey. If you read the book, you understand it's really OTO propaganda, Ordo Templi Orientis, Thelemite, you know, followers of Aleister Crowley, you know. In the end, the astronaut in the end of the story becomes the star child, which is Aleister Crowley's terminology for his superhuman that's evolving from the human race will surpass
funny how
humanity.
How this stuff is all interlinked. It's funny, isn't it? You get threads everywhere you go.
You know the very idea of having a space station. I was a partisan of Von Braun. I was reading his stories in Look magazine about space stations. They had a picture of it, and my great aunt in Pensacola, Florida, she showed me an article from the 1880s about space stations. It's been a lot of this stuff. We think maybe it went back to the 30s to Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon, but I think it goes back. I mean, theory I thought Von Braun was the author of the idea of having a space station. No, they already were talking about in magazines about having a space station in the 1880s.
Huh. Hey, back when Dick Tracy was a big comet, they were flying around in anti-gravity little chariot things, you remember? And they were saying, oh, yeah, in 20 years we'll be doing that.
I remember
that.
Dick Tracy. I'm old enough to remember that, and Alley Oop and a bunch of... And Orphan Annie, too. She's vanished along with the Heck Cats and Jammer Kids.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Yep. It's all real.
This is a trip down memory lane. You know, we're tossing these things around, and it's like triggering that programming. It's like a bad, you know, turning into an MK Ultra experiment down here. Come on, guys.
Well, you have to address these things in order to understand the world around you. To understand that these weren't just great. When I listen to music, you go, did this artist really write that? You know, the myth of the Beatles, right? And these two great songwriters, John Lennon. And,
did you ever see the thing about Jimmy Savile? Saville, Saville, you know, he's mixed up in this child porn and witchcraft thing in England. But his Pizzagate tied in. But he was a good close friend of the Beatles. He was kind of their guide, you know. He used to do their presentations to the public. And they show him together.
The English monarchy? The English monarchy loved him.
Oh, yeah. It's very close to them, the English royals. Said Jimmy Savile, that is.
Yeah, and hey, you know, there's nothing new there. I'm sorry. That is such a horrible subject. I mean, but we got to realize that's been going on, you know, a long time. You know, we're just catching this, you know, little bit of history that we got left. We're just catching the tail end of it.
Hey, Charles, really, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Good information.
It's a crazy world.
Yeah.
Hey, CFR, thank you so much for sending me that clip of the confession of Stanley Kubrick. I'm going to try to get to play that, but I want to get to the callers before too long. I hate hanging on the phone lines when I'm calling in. So 1-800-313-9443. Let's go to Mike in Kentucky. What's going on, man?
It seems apparent that there's, you know, suppressed technology for probably many, many decades. You know, we've never gotten a satisfactory explanation for what the Foo Fighters were in World War II and or the so-called Nazi Bell and that sort of stuff. Now, of course, they're claiming that they've got moon observers that have high enough resolution that they can look down upon these landing sites and show the buggy trails and actually see the lunar lander base modules or whatever where they sit and where the lunar module, you know, launched itself back off of the platform. But one of the things that kind of the smoking guns that I've run into, and I asked one of these debunkers about it, and he was not familiar with it, and immediately dismissed it without even going to look or with no apparent ability to go look. But one thing that I've seen happen in the past is when people run across proof of something that the tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists are correct, it'll disappear from the library. So I'm hesitant to even talk about some of this stuff because things get gone. For instance, you know, the Title IV United States Code books that were popular in the 70s, they were smaller. West Publishing published those, and they were copyrighted. The footnote talking about the gold fringe of the flag disappeared from the library that I found it in, perpetually checked out by a law professor when I went back to take pictures of it. So, you know, it's very I'm very reluctant to talk sometimes about what stuff you can find. But there is a book out called Astronaut Wives, and one of the wives in that talks about how the pictures were goofed up. They forgot to take pictures, and so they had to be simulated later on. And that's in the Astronaut Wives book. I talked to a guy that supposedly, you know, debunked all this. You know, we never went to the moon sort of stuff, and you know, he didn't even entertain the idea that these astronaut wives would have said that.
Right.
Why does
look for that book and or the book on tape and try to get that before it gets disappeared. I don't know why they would put something like that out for people, because I've got a wife that is just a really prolific reader, and when she ran across that, she goes, "Mike, they said well, it was in one of the Astronaut Wives books, you know." She's like a month or two later, she finally told me about it. And I'm like, well, you know, you come across that kind of proof, you should be all over that, and we should be recording it, uploading it on the Internet, and, you know, proving it. But even she and other relatives of mine are like, well, you'll take 2 years to prove somebody wrong. I'm like, well, of course I will when something this important. I mean, our perceptions are managed to the point of where that is very important. If we have wasted, you know, $1 trillion on the space program and it's all fraud, then that's awful dang important, because they could have spent the money on other things. If the radiation in space is lethal to the point of where we can't go above 200 miles, then that, you know, that needs to be talked about. And I put, what is the newest Orion probe, I think, or something that can take 7 astronauts to Mars? What is that called?
I don't know. Anybody?
There's your question for after the break right there.
Yeah, maybe. Know, so. Yeah. Hey, Republic of Texas Radio, let's hold you over for a second there, Mike, and we'll move on to, well, the whole flock of people booking up Republic of Texas Radio. When it does, I know it's on its way.
time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, we're back. Short segment, Republic of Texas radio show. Hey, we were just talking to Mike in Kentucky, and we were talking a little bit about the moon landings and how that crazy nonsense is happening. And, you know, I'm not too sure which ship you're referring to that is heading off to well, is it the Elon Musk one, or is it something
NASA? I think it's called the Orion. It's designed to hold 7 astronauts and get them back and forth to the space station, but it's supposed to be able to fly higher and farther and faster than the Apollo capsule. It's a traditional capsule-type design. But when they first flew it, they flew it up like 400, 500 miles to test the electronics to make sure it could withstand the radiation. And I'm thinking, wow, you got to make sure you can withstand. Why didn't you see? They didn't do that with Apollo, did they?
Right, they have to test it. Yeah, they have to test it. We've been through that already. Yeah.
Genuinely asked some questions on NASA's YouTube on it. Man, you thought I was some kind of complete
heretic.
Nut job. They attacked me every which way they could. You can find the video. I'm sure it's still up there with my comments on it, but a lot of people were just attacking me, but they admitted that there was radiation issues to worry about with this craft.
And there's a lot of sites out there, and like YouTube is one of them that still worship the NASA. And you know, we've got the Big Bang Theory as a comedy that tries to support that whole point of view. As well as Reddit, which is a really, you know, they don't know nothing, generally speaking.
Hey, I want to press on my...
Okay, well, one other thing, though, is that they just studied, what's his name, Gifford, Gabby Gifford's husband. I didn't know he had a twin brother. He came back from being on orbit after a year and has this weird diabetic condition that they can't figure out how to fix. So there's no way that they can make it to Mars without giving the astronauts diabetes from being in microgravity. So we ain't going to Mars. We ain't going to Mars. Not unless there's some technology that they're suppressing, and that may be why they're letting us out. And I think they've probably went up there and created fake landing sites. If they've got this kind of technology, they went up there, they've put stuff out, they fake, you know, now that they got the ability to see it, they went up and faked it. If we didn't go in the first place, you know, then they've had plenty of time to go up there and set up a complete...
Why does the moon not rotate on its axis like every other body?
It's called tidally locked. It's tidally locked to the Earth, and that part of that, that is one of the weird things about where we live. It's such a Goldilocks planet that I mean, you just look at the backside of the moon at all the impact craters that would have wiped out life on Earth. And the moon sucks a lot of that up, and it's 400 times closer than the sun, and it's 400 times. The sun's 400 times bigger, so that it just perfectly doesn't eclipse. I mean, there's just a little bit, you know, you go, I'm thinking
start looking at
there has to be an intelligent creator behind this, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Mike. Guys. Appreciate you a lot.
Great question. Great info, yeah.
Wow. You know, there's so many different directions we can go, but the direction we're going is to Caesar out of New York. What's going on, Caesar?
New York!
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing fine.
Good, you?
I'm good. That's good to hear that you're doing fine. Listen, I just want to go a little bit off a topic because you guys are talking about... space today and aliens and all that and the flying disc, which is the anti-gravity technology, which was the Ananurba, which were the Nazis and the Thule Society out of Antarctica. But no. I want to get a little bit off a topic. I want to know, when are you guys going to cover the connection between Robert Mercer and the Trump? When are you guys going to cover that connection?
I don't think that's on my radar. Why don't you fill me in real quick and maybe we can get that going.
Well, why don't you, look into it a little bit? And, I mean, he's a billionaire that owns Trump, and there's a connection there between him and the Rothschilds and the CFR through Heinz Kissinger.
Yep. All those names sound familiar to me. Follow the money. Follow the money.
So, I mean, you know, it's, at the end of the day, it's what's called... I guess controlled opposition, almost like your friend over there in Texas, AJ, which from what I understand, that's not even his real name. His name is something Bill Getz or something.
Huh. Well, thanks for the call, Caesar. I do have that on my radar right now. Did a quick query, and let's talk about it next week. We'll move on after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function.
Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Once again, into the breach. Is it onto the breach or is it just a beach? I don't know. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, I might be babbling a little bit, but yeah, whatever. It's my show. Hey, no, thanks for the thanks for the call, Caesar. I've got that on my radar, and it looks very interesting. And there's a few words in there that I'd like to dig through. What do you say? Do you know anything about this guy, Robert Mercer, Joe?
Negative. No, I do not. But definitely sounds worth researching. Again, you know, another rabbit hole to run down. But you know, getting back to Kubrick real quick before we get, you know, past him, you know. Remember in the 70s when they were playing golf on the moon, you know, trying to entertain us. By then, and according to his information and all the others and what I saw, you know, they had to do that because people just didn't care by that, you know, by that time. You know, Kubrick said he worked on 11. He didn't work on 12. 12 was a complete failure. And he worked on 13. And he said all of them, basically, you know, were staged. So here's my theory on it real quick, if I can take a minute. So we knew we had the rocket technology after World War II, Operation Paperclip, brought them all over, Wernher von Braun. Alan, you mentioned that a little earlier, you know, closer to the 9 o'clock hour, and brought up some good points. So basically, the rockets were a prop, okay? You know, they flew off, people go, oh, okay, great, we're going to go to the moon, so let's go watch our TV. And then phase two took over, and that's when all the cinematic aspects come in, and Stanley Kubrick's hand was involved in that. So that's my theory on it. I mean,
I know it didn't happen. My grandma in Alabama, she denied it to her death. You know, they never put anybody on the moon. And, you know, I think a lot of people, older people anyway, the older generation that were actually there, remember that. But, you know, now they're dying off and those memories are kind of fading. But, you know, I guess it's up to us to keep it up. But my theory on that is, well, what's it worth? You know, I said earlier, and Alan brought up some good points too. You know, it's, what difference does it make at this point? You know, it's gone. It's done.
So it makes a lot of difference.
Yeah, well, it
makes
does,
a lot of difference.
But we got so much in front of us right now. You guys touched on Fukushima in the first 30, and that to me is critical mass right there. You mentioned, you know, extinction level event, and that's what it is. That's what it's turning into. And I think that's a bigger, you know, issue than, you know, going and figuring out, hey, the moon landings were fake. Oh, okay, great. You got us. You know, they win.
Well, both of those subjects, Joe, are a product of, well, Hollywood and the corporate media system. They've got the wool pulled over everybody's eyes. And our job, my job, is to sit there and hopefully catch one or two people as they come by RBN and say, hey, look, it's not the reality you think it is. We can then show them Fukushima. Some people wouldn't like us talking about stuff like aliens, right? And are we talking about aliens? Kinda. We're talking about Kubrick and, you know, Carl Sagan coming up with this, you know, type 1, type 2, type 3 civilization stuff. But it's all kind of, like Alan says, it all goes together. Hey, Chris out of Vegas, Dave in Arizona, we're going to get to you after the break. We'll be right back. Oh, that wasn't, man, did I miss that one? Well, good. Let's just go to Chris out of Vegas before I say the words TR3B.
TR3B? Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I really like Caesar from New York. He's a critical thinker, like most of the people that are on this show this morning, and always will offer a couple of alternate interpretation for words you use frequently, and several have been used on this particular show, going back to the Ma tricks of the evil god Ma of Star Trek and these other alterverse worlds that we're creating. You mentioned MK Ultra. If you take the blinders off your eyes and you look into it, it's actually the Master's Cult of Ra, the Master being Hashatan or Satan. We look at Chaos. That's the assembly of the worshippers of Osiris. We look at the crisis, the cry of Isis for war, ad infinitum, goddess, demon goddess.
Adoran.
Adoran. Destruction.
In fact, a guy named Adoran comes to mind. Hitler's science guy, Adoran, was running around the world looking for all this suppressed technology and occult stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit, but I don't know as much about him as I do others. But I do know that if you look at the image on top of Capitol Dome, the, you know, female goddess deity that they tell us is Persephone, if you look at that word, it might also reasonably be interpreted as Persephone.
Yeah, you can look at it all different ways.
Well, but remember, perception management is everything. And our language, our English, bent or twisted man, English language, is a hodgepodge, a kind of a patchwork quilt of all other languages put into our so-called English language, and it makes it very difficult to know what one is speaking about. In fact, if you look in the scriptures of Hosea or Ezekiel, which talks about some pretty interesting esoteric stuff anyway, they talk about the O priests of Israel, or O priest of Baal, if you will, which were the black robe priest of Baal, which are the Archonazi, so the Archons, which were the advisors to the potentates and the dictators of the day. But that's enough for you guys for this morning. That's all I've got for you. Blessings unto
you,
God.
I've got something for you. Hold the horses there, man. I got something for you. Let's build on Caesar really quick. Hey, Robert Mercer. He has a daughter. Her name is Rebecca. Tell me about Rebecca. What do you think there? What's the name Rebecca? What brings to mind? Chris? Chris ran off. I guess we'll get that next week. Unless you got something, Joe.
No, you know, drawing a blank right now. That's a good question too.
Hey, I'd go with the biblical Rebecca, right? And you know, going down the rabbit trail causes you to look at one subject and then go down all the ancillary. What people name their offspring is very important. It shows where their mind is and their, you know, what's important to them. Now, that could be that Robert Mercer was sitting there, well, he's a good Christian, and he liked the story of Rebecca. Okay, got that. But that's for next week. For this week, we've got Dave in Arizona, and he's been on the line way too long. What's going on, Dave?
Good morning.
Morning,
Dave.
I wanted to bring up a point, let's say a tactic that I think was employed in the moon landing and many other scandalous opportunities in the government, that they attack or employ more than one venue. Like in the moon landing, I do believe Stanley Kubrick did fake it. There's plenty of evidence in the film that we have that tell us that that was fake. But I think we also did go to the moon, but they did not want us to see what was going on the moon, but they knew they had to show the public something, and they wanted absolute control of what we saw. So they did that on a soundstage with Stanley Kubrick for the public's eye. But I think the Kennedy assassination, the 9/11, many other things, they employed different things from different angles so people could argue over the evidence they had at hand, like the blind men inspecting the elephant. And they each have some facts in hand, but they don't see the whole picture, and they're always arguing, no, it's like a snake. No, it's like a tree. It's, you know, and I think that's really how the government works.
You know, thank you for bringing that back up. You know, you're absolutely right. Alan, yeah. What was that?
The information we receive creates the world that we perceive as reality around us. A quick note on Fukushima. We're all safe now, apparently. I just saw a report that the Japanese have invented a robot that can measure the temperature of molten nuclear fuel. So we're all safe now. Don't worry.
I love robots. I can't wait to get my own, man. I tell you what, they're coming.
Hey, David. I think that you might be right. You know, I have no way of proving that they were wrong. I've looked at the evidence for the moon landing and the fake photographs. I'd have to say that they were faked. And here's a little snippet out there, right? You know, I was doing my research. I came across some guy that went down the avenue trying to figure out, well, how many unique pictures were there from the moon landing? So he went over to NASA, and he downloaded all the things, but then his hard drive got full. And he went, wow, my hard drive's all full. Well, how many pictures? Well, he went back to NASA, tried to figure out how many photos there were, and he couldn't find it. But once I did did all the, you know, all the photographs, he did a little bit of math, and he found out that on Apollo 11, they took a photograph every 15 seconds. On Apollo 12, they took a photograph every 27 seconds. 14, every 62 seconds. And it goes on and on. So all they did was hop out and took pictures. Pictures. And it's curious. But again, like you said, we're just sitting there, blind men trying to inspect an elephant. And does it do any good? But a lot of people think I'm crazy when I tell them that there's some problems with the moon landing. You know, what do you think, David?
Well, like I said, I do think some aspects were fake for public consumption. I think other things were quite true and are top secret, and we'll all die before we ever hear about it. I know I was personally acquainted with a person whose job was to, shall we say, airbrush photographs for the military and the government in space. And they took care of those kind of things just to make sure we don't see certain things. And remember the CIA director who said that their job would be complete when everything the American public believes is false?
Is a lie, right? Yep,
yeah. Everything.
We are the most deceived people on earth, and they say there's trillions of dollars missing, right? Do you really believe people could lose trillions of dollars? It's gone into outer space on secret programs. And I think we have a solution to the radiation issue, but they're not telling the public, and they don't care if we're all irradiated down here by Fukushima and things. Yeah. Sometimes I almost wonder if that isn't part of the plan, is to irradiate all of us. It's killing us.
Yeah,
slowly though. They kill us slowly so they can take advantage of us as we die.
Or they want to alter our genetics or something.
Well, I'm not too sure their plan. But, David, I do agree that they're – who knows where that money is going. But there's a thing that was talked about several years back, and I don't hear very much discussion of it. CFR brought it up in the chat room. It's called a TR-3B. It was one of those mythical beasts that – well, we created the reason why they shut down the space shuttle program. Allegedly, we had something better coming, or we were going to go back to using Estes rockets to put people in space stations or whatever. But the TR-3B allegedly was a ship that could, well, fly, but they weren't telling us about it. You ever go down that rabbit trail, David?
I certainly have. I have read about them. I have seen giant things in the sky down. I was driving. I used to live in New Mexico, and I was driving back from visiting my parents here in Phoenix, and it was about midnight. It was on Interstate 10 and this lonely, desolate stretch from the New Mexico border going headed towards Las Cruces. It was about midnight. And there was flying low and slow, matching the freeway speed, was a humongous craft that was hundreds and hundreds of feet long. And I mean, it was longer than the space between its belly and the ground. It made the little hills around the freeway look like anthills. And it was matching the freeway traffic, and it was all covered with red lights. But it's like it wanted to be seen. It was flying right next to the freeway, low and slow, matching the freeway traffic speed, which is about 75 miles an hour, you know, and it's when all the truck traffic's out at night. And I'm sure there was a lot of CB chatter about it. But that's just one of the things I have seen.
Well, you also have the Phoenix Lights, right? Where, you know, all these people in Arizona saw something, and then the mayor poo-pooed it, and then way later came back and said, well, I don't know what the heck it was. I really don't.
How about the Battle of Los Angeles? The Battle of Los Angeles.
And then Ben Rich was the director of...
Yeah,
Ben Rich, who used to be the director of the Lockheed Skunk Works, doing all that secret aerospace work, said that just before he died, that everything we have seen in Star Trek and Star Wars, the government has already done.
We're like 50 years behind what we see. Yeah, we're about 50 years behind the technology that's out there.
Hey, thanks for the call, David. I really appreciate it.
Take care, brother.
Hey, Doc, are you there?
I'm here.
Have we gone sideways on you? What are you doing back there?
Well, no, I was just thinking about the time I went to the moon, but nothing serious.
Holding out on that with the military?
Yeah, it's classified. He's going to have to kill us all if he tells us. Don't push him on that.
You know, I was thinking about, because you started the show with Kubrick, and when I watched all that, it was very, very easy to see and believe in a lot of it, because there was a lot of scientists who did calculations on the outside that weren't part of it that said something doesn't add up here. This couldn't have happened. The only thing that was a little confusing about Kubrick was at the very end when they did all those math calculations. And to me, that was a little stretch, because they came up with 11, 12, and 13 with some, you know, you'd have had to know what numbers to throw in. But everything else in that really made you stop and think. And even if we went to the moon, like has been brought up on this, it looked like they wanted a better production and maybe a guy like him to do all the things he did. And with those scientists saying that the weight calculations didn't work out, and more than one of them, really gives you some stuff to think about.
Hey, on that note, you know, the first movie was great, and the second movie was horrible. He did a lot of those stretchy calculations again, Doc. You know, he counted, well, the letters and words, multiplied them by 4, divided by 6, and then it equals 11. I'm going like, dude, what are you trying to do? Discredit yourself? You know, and maybe he was. Maybe he said too much. I'm not too sure. I like that TR-3B angle there, right, for the lack of our space program. But I wonder, you know, David talked about this huge craft that has been seen, well, by a lot of people. And, well, how many people would man such a thing? Is it one person? Is it, you know, what is it? Do we have that many people in our population that are in the know? I don't know. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio. Yeah. I wish I'd pay attention. It's like you said, it's in my head. The camera in circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. Wouldn't miss it for the sun.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I had gout in both my knees, and it's gone.
Well, I'm pretty stupid. I should have ordered it, like, you know, 15 years ago. It's the most effective product that I've ever bought in my life.
He had eczema on his hand, and it cracked for years. Mm-hmm. He did anything from doctor, every cream, everything. And 3 months on the veggies and fruit, it was gone.
They're just awesome. They keep asking me, what am I doing? I told them what I did with my cholesterol. I had the blood test, right? And it went down 100 points. 262, now it's 162. Everything is just perfect.
Balance of Nature is celebrating its 20th anniversary by providing you the best offer they've ever given. 2 free months of fruits and veggies and free shipping. Call now for details. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code TALK.
Oh, fall. My favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round. And for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. Naturesyouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Okay, we're back. It's the last short segment, and as a tradition, we like to hand it over to, well, to whoever we've got on with us. And this happens to be Joe Lawrence. Hey, Joe, you got a couple minutes to close out this thing. What are your thoughts?
Well, real quick, let me mention, you know, we've been talking a lot about Fukushima. We've been talking about fake pictures. I've got a friend now in, he's up on the, close to the Canadian border. And what he does, he's, you know, he's a scientist. He's one of us. He's, you know, researcher. And he's gone out and his own, on his own dime, and he's chronicalized all these, you know, what's going on up there. And, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. If you don't mind, let me just mention the site real quick. It's called the nuclearproctologist.org.
Dana Danford, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got to have a chance to talk to him last night around 11 or so. He was busy, but hopefully we'll catch up with him and I'll have something for Wednesday's show with Dr. Dave. But people, go and look at the site. He's got everything documented right there. I think that is more forward thinking. And yeah, that's what we need to really focus on, that, you know, a couple other things. But, hey, I got to go down to the Coliseum here in a little while to see today's event. Yeah, that's the big attraction today, right?
Is it? Yeah, I guess so. We'll find out what Lady Gaga has to say about Trump. Maybe she loves Trump. Wouldn't that be a, you know, startling revelation?
That's about the only thing to really watch it for is the halftime Illuminati commercial, you know, ritual. See what they're going to do. It's always interesting, definitely. But go check out that site, nuclearproctologist.org. Dana is an awesome guy. And he's done the legwork. He's actually out there on the site. That's that first hand information. Yep. You know.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Joe. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's an honor. My pleasure.
Okay. Hey, Doc, what do you got?
Well, it's great to have Joe on. I have him on Wednesday night with me, and he is a researcher's researcher. So a good man to dig up a lot of information. And he's got a great background in TV, so it was good to hear his views today, and glad to have him with us.
Oh, thank you, Dave. I'll see you Wednesday, brother.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Texas independence is on a burner, simmering. We've got all the groups that are just ready for, well, the next shift in our reality, and they've already planned it, folks. I don't know when it's going to come. I'm not a prognosticator, not like that groundhog. But I know it's there. I can feel it in my bones. And, well, enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody, if you do that kind of thing. I know I'm just going to kind of, like, go play with the kids because I feel that family is probably the most important thing in your life, and you got to take care of them. You got to love them. Even if they're kind of, you know, look at you crazy when you tell them, you know, I don't think that we went to the moon. I don't know.
You know, some people are going to believe what they're going to believe. What are you going to do? You know, just got to move forward. Hopefully we'll get them alert to whatever else is going on. There's some crazy things coming up.
As a note, they believe more today than they did 8 years ago. I had a person yesterday tell me that George Bush wasn't that great of a president. And previously, he'd been exalting the virtues of, you know, little George. And I'm kind of like going, you made a shift. That's wonderful. That's just wonderful because we need more people to shift and look at alternate, you know, possibilities or probabilities or actual facts that, well, Ronald Reagan wasn't necessarily a good president. Neither was Nixon or any of these guys. They were all part of the system that is, well, holding us trapped in our perspective.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Well, Parker Pathways is coming up next, folks. Hope you listen in. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting. Have a good weekend.
Brothers and sisters were clothed and fed. Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends. We
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.